Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Atlantia full year 2018 results conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Giovanni Castellucci, CEO of Atlantia. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon to everybody. Thank you for joining the call today. 2018 has been a very peculiar year for us, a year of big change and progress, but as well a year of great sadness. Before commenting and entering into yearly results, let me spend few words, and more than few words, let me share with you my thoughts about the tragedy who marked 2018 for our group and especially for Autostrade per l'Italia. On August 14th, a section of the bridge of Genova collapsed. On that tragic day, many lives were lost and many changed. My thoughts remain with the victims and survivors of the disaster and their families, and also with all the people who worked day and night to manage the emergency, to try to rescue survivors, and to make the emergency less tragic as possible. I spent in Genova, 4 days, starting few hours after the disaster. I've been the first person of the company, with excluding the people that were on shift, to arrive in the location, to cooperate with authorities to manage the manageable that day. We are continuing to cooperate with authorities for the rebuilding of the bridge, with the population and people to restore the victims and to reduce the discomfort of people who were hit by this strategy as well. We are working with experts to still trying to understand what happened. And let me say that with the limited access to location and to proofs we have today, we are not yet in the position to say exactly what happened. And I don't want to comment so much about something we don't know yet and nobody knows yet. Let me say that after that tragedy, the company Autostrade per l'Italia did and redid again checks and analysis to make sure, also with the support of third parties or further third parties experts, to make sure that the network is safe. And I can confirm to you that Autostrade per l'Italia is confirming this, that there is no risk, and all the network is safe, totally safe. Let me talk a little bit about the business and the role we have in the country, connecting different regions. You know, we are the backbone of the country. And how big we became after the Abertis transaction. Our group, Atlantia Group, is now a group of more than 30,000 people working in 16 countries, in cooperation with 16 governments and local authorities. So we are becoming more and more partners to Countries and local administrations to improve the network and improve the quality of individual traveling and of people. And let me say before turning over the call to my colleagues, let me say that this year we can finally say that Atlante is a totally different group. It's larger, deeper, is much more diversified, and is finally the largest group managing concessions for toll roads and airports in the world, partnering with the largest construction group in the world, which is ACS, in the Western world, which is ACS, Octave combined. And I believe that from this partnership, we will create a huge amount of value in the long term. We are establishing the basis for a unique competitive model, mixing geographical coverage, optionality, and total control of the main stages of the value chain. I'm today here with the CEO of Abertis, who came to Rome to, I mean, work together with me on the new plan. And I mean, if there is any question that is concerning specifically Abertis, I'm not so, I mean, experienced on everything. I will ask Pepe Alcaro to comment or to give to me, I mean, the right answer. So now I turn the call to Mr. Sonigo to comment more in detail the 2018 numbers.
Thank you, Mr. Castellucci. Well, I guess you all know that Atlantia Group is now a group that doubled its size with approximately 11 billion revenues, 7.3 billion EBITDA. And let I say that the net debt on EBITDA is at 5.2 times, that we consider very efficient and fully sustainable. After the transaction involving Abertis, now Italy is accounting just for 46%, while the other two largest markets accounts for 18%, I'm referring to France, and 16%, I'm referring to Spain, and Latam approximately 15%, while Autostrade per Italia is now just approximately 32% of the EBITDA of the group. Before I walk through numbers, let us spend a couple of words on accounting treatment after the Abertis deal. Just three main changes. First of all, 2018 results are consolidating line by line 2 months of the financial statements of Abertis because the transaction was completed on October 29th, 2018. Well, what with specific regard with the PPA, honestly, we are taking advantage of IFRS 3 and recognizing on a provisional basis the full difference between the purchase price and the net asset acquired to goodwill equal to 16.8 billion. The final allocation will be completed later on, approximately within 1 year, as allowed by IFRS 3. Third, we had to homogenize the accounting treatment among the group, and we made the decision to make accounting treatment the most possible in line with market standards again. So we are moving above the EBITDA, like many groups made before, including also Bertis, the operating change in provision for repair replacement of motorway infrastructure, as well as the provision for risk and charges. So this is the main changes we are introducing starting from the full year 2018 results. A couple of words on traffic, even though we made all data publicly available a few minutes ago, I would say that, as you can see, most of countries are growing with a strong pace for Spain, as well as Chile, for instance. Let I draw your attention on some impacts that actually reduce a little bit traffic performance. In Italy, for instance, snowstorms reduce traffic from 0.5 down to 0.2, 0.5 is the traffic performance if you strip out this winter effect. more importantly, in France, the Yellow Vest protest reduced traffic because they impacted with some strikes on the road. It would have been approximately 2.4. Similarly, in Brazil, the traffic would have been 2.3% for our own assets directly controlled by Atlantia, or plus 2.4 again, similarly, for the asset managed by Abertis. With regard to the airport traffic, we are recording a strong growth, both in the range of 4% for our Porti Roma as well as for the Nice airport. And this is mainly driven, as we're going to see later on, by increase in extra-Europe traffic. Let I say that year-to-date, more or less, we are seeing the similar trend in most of the countries. Let I draw your attention quickly on the main drivers of our results in 2018. As you can see on page 7, basically we had an increase on a like-for-like basis for the entire group of approximately 2%, with an increase in each segment. Honestly, the only downside we see in the full year 2018 is basically related to the in-house works, basically because we had new tender legislation coming into place and these slowdown works awarded internally to our in-house company Pavimental, as well as in 2017 we had some one-off that boosted the performance. After that, the main one-off is, of course, the general impact that now, as I mentioned, is reported above the EBITDA, and we are charging this year at the group level approximately €530 million on EBITDA, as we are going to discuss later on. If I may, starting from Italy, let we go immediately to touch this topic. Basically, the impact for Autostrade per l'Italia is in the range of €500 million. This is a result of a sum of several effects. Basically, approximately €50 million are costs that Autostrade per l'Italia already charged and expensed in 2018, but more importantly, approximately €450 million are related to provision for future expenses in order to finance the demolition reconstruction of the bridge in Genoa, as well as to complete the payment of compensation, damages, legal expenses, etc. As you might remember, in 9-month results, we charge a similar amount, but in a lower size, €350 million. This is mainly due because the final cost is much higher due to the new project selected by the Stellare Commission in charge of reconstruction. This is due to different design as well as to a larger area to expropriate. Coming back to results aside the Genoa impact, the main result of the like-for-like performance plus 1% is of course driven by traffic, tariff increase, and honestly it was a little bit penalized because we had to charge higher provision also because of the postponement of some works, as I mentioned, due to the new tender procedure, in particular on resurfacing. Overseas, the situation is showing an increase like-for-like of about 4%, with much of the growth boosted by Chile and Poland. As I mentioned, the Brazil traffic growth was hit by strikes, while if we strip out this effect, the increase is higher than 2%. Couple of highlights again in Chile. As you know, in 2018, we have been awarded for the construction of two projects in Santiago, Autostrade Autopista Vespucio Oriente, for approximately €500 million, and Ruta 78 for approximately €200 million. At the same time, we almost entirely completed the bottleneck of Costanera Norte. Moving to airports, as I briefly mentioned, most of the growth for our Porti Roma, as well as we're going to see for the Nice airport, is driven by longer routes, in particular new. Fiumicino, for instance, experienced an increase in extra-European passengers of 14%, and this is boosted for the opening of new long-haul routes, for instance, in New York, LA, Auckland, or new frequencies in Canada, for instance, Rio de Janeiro, Buenos Aires, etc., etc., etc. At the same time, we have seen that also Italian is growing. It reported a growth of 2% in terms of passengers, and 65% of this growth, again, was boosted by long haul. It is to remark that Alitalia honestly now represents less than 29% of the entire aeronautical revenues of the airport. Meanwhile, we are also working to open and enlarge the Schengen domestic terminal area with a new pier and again a new commercial area like we already did on the extra Schengen international terminal. Similar drivers for the airport of Nice, where again we are seeing a continuous expansion of new routes or frequencies to Eastern European markets, Russia, Middle East, North America, etc. So now there are approximately 117 direct destinations from Nice in the summer season, but we are also seeing that in the winter season there is a trend for an increase also in winter travelers in Nice by approximately 80%. Again, the increased improvement in the EBITDA performance was also supported by higher retail royalties and other non-aviation revenues like, for instance, parking. Last but not the least, Telepass reported €118 million EBITDA. This is supported by the new strategy to enlarge the services provided by Telepass. Now Telepass is offering 11 countries a one single box to pay tolls, and we are adding new services like fleet management or through the Telepass Pay platform, new digital services to pay also other services, not only tolling, but for instance, again, parking, car wash, fuel, etc., etc. And we are also cross-selling additional services like insurance coverage, so-called instant coverage like on travel or ski, for instance. We are also targeting the possibility to sell full car coverage in the next months. A couple of words about Abertis. As you know, we are just consolidating 2 months, but on page 14, we summarize the full impact for the full year for the full Abertis group. As you can see, in all 2018, all the major markets are growing. Just a couple of words on Brazil. Apart from traffic growth that was penalized, as I mentioned, by strikes, etc., actually, there was also the expiry of Via Norte concession in May 2018. A couple of words on Argentina that actually is reporting a much higher growth. This is mainly driven because of the new agreement that is including a return, a minimum return on the investment. Basically, under IFRS, there was a shift from the tangible model to the financial model, so there is the initial recognition of new concession rights for approximately €78 million. So this is a one-off that we are seeing in 2018. We are moving to net debt. Of course, most of the increase in net debt was driven by the Abertis acquisition. All in all, net debt grew from 2.6 times up to 5.2 times, and this was driven by the Abertis acquisition in terms of acquisition financing, consolidation line by line of Abertis debt position. On top of that, as you remember, we also acquired a couple of financial stakes in Getlink and Octave for a total expenditure of 3.5 billion. The Abertis acquisition structure is going to be optimized in the next months. You might remember that the acquisition was funded at the Atlantia level with approximately €3.9 billion of debt. We entirely secured and refinanced the total amount of acquisition debt. And now the average all-in cost for this 3.9 facility is in the range of 1.9%, and the average maturity is in the range of 5 years. You might remember that Abertis acquisition through Abertis Holco and Abertis Participazione, so within two vehicles, a top level vehicle and a midco, was basically consisting 9.8 billion euro, 3 billion euro term loan, 4.75 billion euro to be taken out in the bond market, and a bridge to disposal of 2 billion. Well, the bridge disposal is actually entirely refinanced because of the 1.7 billion euro sale of Cellnex, completed in 2018, and the recently announced sale of Hispasat for 950 million euro. While we also at the same time started to refinance the 4.75 billion euro, raising approximately 2 billion euro of new facilities. If we consider all the 5 billion euro term loan that we have in place, 3 billion plus the 2 billion recently negotiated, at present the cost for this 5 billion is in the range of 1% and the maturity is in the range of 5 years. On page 17, you can see the full refinancing plan. So basically we can say that the 6.8 billion euro of bridge to disposal and bridge to bond have been refinanced for approximately 4.7 billion already. So the short-term acquisition debt is consistently reducing from 6.8 down to 2.1 billion only. The company today announced a roadshow to place a bond to entirely refinance this residual 2 billion. Meanwhile, as you know, the company approved the merger, the reverse merger between Abertis Infrastructuras and Abertis Participaciones, and subsequently we envisage the distribution of 10 billion euro of dividends. So this will completely push down the debt, the acquisition debt, at the Abertis level. As a result, we are proud to say that we completely covered the financing needs of the group up to 2022. As you can see on page 18, the sum of available cash and the undrawn committed line at year-end 2018 is enough to cover in all the group all the maturities of debt for approximately 3 years. So from now up to 2022, we have no further refinancing needs. Now I leave the floor to Mr. Castellucci for a strategic update about the outlook of the group.
Yeah, thank you very much. Let me talk about the closing remarks that are about our priorities. I mean, the first priority, of course, is continuing developing our competencies and trying to do our job better and better every day. You see the ADR, Aeroporti di Roma, results. We are now the best airport in Europe and one of the best in the world. For sure, for the Western world, this is the result of passion, processes, attention of the people working there, and we want to spread that spirit everywhere. And this is not at the expenses of economic performance or growth, because in Aeroporti di Roma we are growing double digit, all the key numbers that create value in the long term. The same is Nice. Let me say the same is Telepass, where we are the first to offer tolling services for trucks in 11 countries in Europe, who well ahead all the competition. Let me say that this is about competencies on tolling and urban toll roads. We recently introduced free flow in Nororiente, which is the one of the concessions we have in Santiago del Chile. Traffic is up 50% thanks to that. So competencies is everything, and we believe that our business is based on competencies, and this is the priority we are pushing ahead with Abertis to make sure that what they do better we will copy, and vice versa, and what could be done better then what we do, we will, to take inspiration from, the maximum targets we can give to ourselves to get there, because now there is no alibi not to do the best and to get the best from our people, from our organization, from our processes, and so on. But having said that, let me say that there are more specific priorities. One is deliver value in the Abertis takeover and the partnership with ACS Octave. And of course, to deliver value, you need first to complete the transaction. This is what we did recently, getting all the authorizations necessary for the deal. Launching and finding an agreement on disposals, disposal of Cellnex, disposal of Hispasat, where we have a contract now, and we just are waiting for the authorization from the state. But being the buyer, a state-owned company, I don't see why the state should not be happy to get even a closer control on strategic assets for the defense of Spain. Delivering on Abertis means refinancing. You see that out of the big amount of debt that was necessary to complete the takeover, now what's remaining is 2.1 billion euros of short-term debt to be refinanced in the next weeks. All the rest is done. And what has been done before has been very efficient. The 2 billion of 5 years facility and bilateral bank commitment are in the range of 1%, roughly. Can be a little bit higher, a little bit lower, but this is the level of cost at which we are refinancing the debt. Of course, delivering on Abertis means also operational enhancement. We are working, every day. I cannot say night and day because, there is no need. We are working every day with Abertis people and with ACS to set our targets and standards and ambitions. And very soon we will finally finalize the new plan of Abertis standalone, because we believe that before, thinking about, buying, merging, growing, we need to, know exactly to what level we can arrive alone. And this is what we are doing in these days with good, involvement, success, and results. Of course, there is a lot of optionality within Abertis portfolio, and we are strongly supporting Abertis for any investment they will do or agree with the local authorities and national authorities to improve the network. I'm talking about the bottlenecking in Autopista Central in Chile. I'm talking about the Grand Paris project, which is the access upgrading in Paris. You should know that out of 8 toll roads arriving in Paris, 6 are under control of Sanef. Sanef has 6 out of 8 accesses to Paris. Italy is about completion of Valdastico. It's a big project, very important. For the first time, we see a common view in the two regions that are involved in the project, Veneto and Trento, and we see a possibility, a concrete possibility, to help them finding an agreement about the final design of the project that will be remunerated at guaranteed returns. And Spain is another opportunity in the long term. It's true that some concessions will expire, but it's true as well that the government, past government, and I believe that any government will say the same, has declared that the government cannot do without tolls in the future. So the nature of the business can change, the perimeter of responsibilities can change, but there will be always in the future a role for competitive players with competencies in the tolling, in construction, in maintenance, and this is exactly what Abertis can do there. Of course, delivering on Abertis project is delivering on new projects and portfolio. I mean, reshaping. Let me say that the opportunity of having in the partnership ACS Octif, dominant in Australia, US, Canada, and Germany, I mean, creates huge opportunity in the kind of infrastructures we believe will create in the future more value. The infrastructure, the toll roads in urban or semi-urban environments. And I mean, we do believe that thanks to the competencies and the local dominance of ACS Group, we can, I mean, take some very good opportunities and develop interesting projects in urban toll roads business, especially in the countries where ACS Octif is dominant, like US, Canada, and Australia. Last point is about deleveraging. Deleveraging is the name of the game for Abertis, is the name for the game for Atlantia. We know how important is reducing debt in the future. We know that, I mean, rating is so important at the point to put a rating target as a driver for dividend policy in Abertis, you know. So rating and cost of capital, consequently, is the key element where we want to, I mean, count in the future to be competitive in this business. Talking about priorities is not just the year of Abertis, is also the year of the tragedy of Genova, is the year of ASPI being under investigation and discussing with the government about what we did and how we did in the past. We want to continue to be good citizens in this country. We will continue to support communities, families of the victims, households forced to leave. We are partnering with the commissioner, helping him rebuilding the bridge as soon as possible. We are cooperating with prosecutors in the investigation, and we will continue to have a very prudent financial strategy in Autostrade per l'Italia for the future. And continuing cooperating with relevant authorities, we will give all the answers to the government willing to understand what we did, and we will continue to cooperate with them. Other priorities, Aeroporti di Roma. I mean, as I anticipated before, the performance in terms of traffic growth and satisfaction and quality of service for customers is, I mean, is impressive. We are very proud about, not because of the result, but because this is the proof that competencies matter and the passion matters as well. And is the proof that the Atlantia model, most of the people in Aeroporti di Roma is coming from Atlantia, the Atlantia model is working. It's a model of insourcing, it's a model of, I mean, clear focus on quality of service, on commercial activities, on timing, on delivery, and it works. And we believe that Aeroporti di Roma can continue to grow quite significantly, especially when, and now it's quite likely, Alitalia will finally find a final, a shareholdership. I mean, today, as you know, Alitalia is managed by commissioners, Chapter 11 commissioners. I mean, it's good for protecting creditors. It's not good for, I mean, managing the company. And the government is willing, badly, to rescue Alitalia and to provide the necessary resources to keep Alitalia alive and growing. And this is an opportunity for Aeroporti di Roma, for sure. Let me say that I would like to spend few words about two assets we have in our portfolio. I mean, I'm not consolidated, means that, I mean, the investments we did are more quote-unquote financial, but with a strong strategic, I mean, implication. The first asset is Octave. Let me comment briefly about Octave results. The Octave results have been very good. I mean, plus 7% EBITDA, plus 19% profit before taxes, 790 million euros free cash flow devoted to Abertis acquisition and devoted to cash piling. Cash position is 1.5 billion positive in Octave, and the dividend per share plus 47%. I mean, the numbers show and prove that Octave is not really a construction company. And that's true. If you look at the results of Octave, you see that more than 50%, close to 57%, is the result coming from services. Octave is more services than construction. Services are mining services, or services for mining companies, are engineering services Turner is providing in the project they manage without taking a risk on construction. So, I mean, it's more a service company dominant in the respective markets as is in mining services in Australia or engineering services in US. Is the result of a dominant company in an activity that has very little to see with construction. And the results are showing it. And this is why, I mean, the results in 2018 have been so good for Octave. No wonder. And we believe that on top of good results, I mean, there could be good synergies between us, Abertis, and Octave. And Octave will benefit as well from dividend accretion coming from Abertis as well. Few words about an R&D investment we did recently, still not consolidated, is not a dominant position, even if we are number one shareholder, which is Getlink. The result, EBITDA is plus 9%, free cash flow 250, dividend per share plus 20%, with very strong performance on Eurostar passengers, truck services, and cars. And the value, strategic value, is still there with potential synergies with Sanef network. I mean, the road that is bringing trucks to the tunnel is a Sanef road, and that's very important. Is still accretive on Atlantic earnings if you consider that our cost of capital is way below, cost of debt is way below, dividend yield. And we believe that there is still strategic value for the future. Knowing that Brexit is a risk, but I mean, now from what we see, could be even an upside. And this is the reason why current stock price is significantly higher than the price we paid for a dominant position with 26% of voting rights. How to create more value in the future? I mean, the last page, page number 27 of my presentation, is very simple, accelerating capital rotation. I mean, we need to think in terms of assets, but also in terms of liquidity of assets, of the assets we have. We believe that we could create in due time, when Alitalia story will be better addressed, and the CapEx plan of Fiumicino better addressed as well, we can create and open the capital of an investment platform for airports. We believe that the process we started with the disposal of 12% of ASPI in due time, when the situation will be clearer with the government, can be restarted. And we believe as well that
when we will be capable to demonstrate the value creation in Telepass, not just in creating more value in the existing perimeter, but more countries and more services, I believe that we can open the capital of Telepass as well. This will boost the ability to invest and to deploy capital where we want to invest it, together with the cash flow we will generate in the assets. And first priority is optionality in existing portfolio. The portfolio, the combined portfolio of Abertis and Atlantia has a huge optionality at guaranteed returns, and that's very important. It's the leveraging and rating protection. I mean, to be effective and efficient in competing in this business, you need to have a low cost of capital, and for us it's very important. And, after ensuring the proper shareholder remuneration, is about selective approach and opportunities in our areas of focus, which is external growth in airports, provided that the airport can be a global destination, can be toll roads, provided that we have a competitive advantage in buying them, or is a kind of asset like urban toll roads where we can have a superior competence to create more value. So our future is a future of growth, deleveraging, shareholder remuneration, and more open capital structure at lower level than Atlantia. I'm talking about airports platform, I'm talking about Italian toll road platform, I'm talking about tolling services platform. We are ready to open in the future. So this is about our future. I don't want to enter into some details of reconciliation or debt structure or EBITDA structure, and I'm open to answer to your question, knowing that, and these are the really final remarks, we are very focused in very few priorities. Deliver on Abertis transaction, benefit from optionality, open the capital of our platforms in due time, and grow where we are strong, which is technologies, urban roads, airports. Benefiting from the fact that now we are leader in the world, and there is no deal in the world where the potential buyer or seller is not calling us, checking whether we can be interested in. So being leader means that you will have, a deeper and wider deal flow to check, analyze, and you can have much better preemption than when you are not a worldwide leader, and which is in itself a value. Thank you very much. I'm open to any question you want to ask.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question comes from Nicolò Pessina with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you so much for the very detailed presentation. I would have three questions. The first one is on dividends. I would like to know what your plan for dividend payments for the next few years. Second question on the situation in Genoa. Do you expect to have to pay additional costs on top of the 500 million euros you have already factored into the 2018 numbers, and in particular, I'm referring to the Court of Auditors in Italy that mentioned potential compensation costs of up to 1 billion euros. The last question is about the AP7, if you have any updates from the Spanish Supreme Court ruling about the Spanish Supreme Court ruling that you can share with us. Thank you.
I'm starting. start, I'm starting from the easiest part, 87, we have no information. On general cost, I mean, probably you're mentioning indirect cost. So the costs that are due to the fact that the toll road is not open and the mobility is more complex. We don't believe that this kind of indirect cost can be, payable or due for a simple reason that we are measuring since the day or the week after the travel time between one extreme of Genova and the other extreme of Genova. And let me say that we are talking about 5 minutes maximum over time going from Voltri to Fiera, which means passing from one extreme to the other extreme of Genova. So we are talking about nothing. So there is no real, impact on the Genova mobility. And this is why we do not believe that there is any ground for indirect cost, reimbursement. Without talking about, of course, responsibility and so on. So, saying that, I'm not responsible for what Autostrade per Italia puts in these accounts. Let me say that I do not see reasons why that amount should be significantly different, for the simple reason that, the absence of the bridge is not creating huge, disturb and inefficiencies in the mobility in the city. Talking about dividends, let me say that this year we said whatever happens to ASPI, we will pay from 80 to 90 cents. And this is, let me say, a floor. Of course, as soon as the situation in ASPI will become clearer and the dividend policy of ASPI will become more visible, we will update the policy in Atlantia as well, knowing that shareholders' remuneration is very important. And we don't know when and if we can come back to the original plan we had at the time of the acquisition of Abertis, that was 40% uplift one shot plus 10% going forward. It depends on when and how the situation of Autostrade per l'Italia will be settled. So it's still a possibility, but I'm not in the position to anticipate when and to what extent. But for sure, what we communicated being the floor is something we can confirm. And let me say that it's providing anyhow a 4% dividend yield, which is decent for this kind of infrastructures or for infrastructures with such a duration of the portfolio. Next.
Okay, many thanks.
The next question is from Enrico Bartoli with MainFirst. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, and thanks for taking my questions. First of all, I have a question about the synergies that you mentioned potentially with Abertis. I was wondering if you have already quantified in some way the synergies in terms of cost and in terms of potential expansions in the new markets where OPIF and SES have a strong presence, if you are looking at some opportunities in terms of additional assets to add to your total portfolio. A second question is regarding ADR. If I'm right, actually there was a proposal for a new tariff path over the next years. If you can elaborate on that in order, I think, in order to reduce the volatility of the tariffs with the new regulatory period. And regarding the CapEx, what can we expect for the next few years? In 2017-18, the CapEx has been around 200 million euro per year. If we can assume that this is a level we'll see over the next few years as well. And the third one is more in general. I saw the interview that Mr. Castellucci released on the press regarding possible interest in Aeroport de Paris. In general, I would wonder if the company, after the Abertis transaction, is looking for additional external growth opportunities, and what you think would be the potential room financially for Atlantia to exploit additional opportunities. Thank you.
Okay. So synergy with Abertis. Let me say that before talking about synergies, we are starting working on best practices sharing. This is not strictly a synergy. You don't need to put together assets, services, companies. You need just to copy from your partner. And this is what we are doing, what they are doing. There is a strong, interchange in Brazil, in Chile, in Italy, in France, about how we manage paving, how they manage paving, how we manage tolling, how they manage tolling, how we structure our services, how they structure their services. So let me say, it's not synergies, but there is a huge work ongoing on best practices sharing, and the results will be communicated by Abertis quite soon, in the next weeks or months maximum. Then next step could be synergies, when you start putting together activities, putting together companies, but we are not yet at that point. Let me say that we do prefer to proceed step by step, because you get more at the end. On new markets and opportunities, let me say, the big opportunities are in the urban mobility, and the urban mobility needs are especially in the U.S. The biggest jumps in the world and in the U.S. And there is a big project in Virginia, the so-called Capital Beltway, and we are starting studying together with our partners in ACS. It's too early to say, when, how deep and how much money we will invest there, but for sure is an area of joint effort. On ADR, let me say that I've not got the question about stability, regulatory, and so on. For the time being, we have an agreed return. We have reducing tariffs because we wanted to be as competitive as possible. For the first year, 2019 is a year of reducing tariffs for ADR, and we want to proceed on the same page. Our target is to have the next years with reducing tariffs rather than increasing tariffs, because we want to grow even faster if possible. The CapEx for the next couple of years will remain more or less the same, because we need to complete the Hub Est. Hub Est means that we will totally rebuild the Schengen area, especially the commercial area for Schengen passengers, adding one pier, the so-called Pier A, adding capacity, finger capacity, commercial capacity, and let me say that the reactions of retailers to the idea of having a concentrated commercial hub in Schengen area has been much better than expected. We expected originally that the interest could be only in extra Schengen, Russians, Chinese, and so on, passengers area. The reality is that the big brands believe that there is a huge value also in the area that deserves, Norway, or Germany, or UK, or France. And that's good. I believe there will be a huge potential. The amount of CapEx should not be so different from what is today. Yeah, probably will increase a little bit in 2020 because 2020 is the peak of the CapEx of Harvest, and then will decrease again. But still, I mean, is a CapEx plan that is under review every year, because what we are doing right now is to try to optimize capacity. Optimizing capacity means, I mean, rebuilding terminals on the footprint of other terminals or old terminals, increasing capacity. This is what we are doing with Terminal 2 that will be canceled. And we are trying to maximize capacity of the runway, working on procedures with ENAV, and we are very successful on that. So we are still, let me say, we are already building part of the fourth runway in these days, thanks to, I mean, better packing of takeoffs and landing via better procedures. So talking about ADP, let me say, if you do our business, which is managing concessions in France and having a large airport managed so successfully like Rome, you cannot avoid to have a look at ADP. The project of privatization as it is very complex. By the way, it's very discussed locally in France. Will not probably be the final project that will go live, and will not be probably a very fast decision. And I believe, by the way, that we have enough flexibility in our asset portfolio and balance sheet to be capable to play a role in that project if we want. But let me say that with the current structure of the potential privatization is not probably something that is manageable. It's too complex. Having said that, we continue to have a look, and we believe that will not be short term, the final outcome of that process. Okay, next.
The next question is from Elodie Rall with JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for taking my questions. I'll have just three as well, if I may. The first one would be about, sorry to go back on that, but the litigation on Genoa and ASP right now with the Ministry of Transport. I was wondering if you could give us your best guess in terms of likely timing from here and the scenarios that you are envisaging. I know there are a lot, but the main ones. My second question is on how to think on CapEx regarding ASP, and I know it depends a lot on the outcomes of the litigation, but at the moment, how do we think of CapEx when we model ASP, at least for the next couple of years? And my last question is about your current leverage of 5.2 times. Are you comfortable with that? And would you consider doing some divestments at the moment in your current portfolio, minority stakes or like actual stakes? Thank you so much.
A few words and then I pass to Sonic on more specific. I mean, rating agencies eliminated the negative watch on our stock, means that our situation is not, I mean, under scrutiny in these days, and that's a positive outcome, even if there is still negative outlook for Italy and therefore for us as well. 5.2 times EBITDA, debt on EBITDA, is comfortable but not necessarily optimal. We want to reduce in due time, depending on opportunities and conditions. Let me say that we are comfortable being 5.2, but we believe that the cost of capital could be lower in if we go a little bit lower in terms of ratios and a little bit higher in terms of FFO net debt. It means that, the direction is very clear, is deleveraging. But, depending on the opportunities, the time, and the means for deleveraging could be different. As I said, there is a lot of flexibility in our portfolio. There are many assets where we can sell minorities. There are many assets where we have, a stake, and the stake is potentially liquid. So going down the road, there is enough flexibility we can play with. Talking about the prognosis, about the procedure we have open with the minister, let me say that in September, during my first meeting with investors after the tragedy, I said very openly, don't expect to have an outcome before 1 year. These kind of situations require time, require discussions, require checks back and forth, and I'm still convinced that that's the time frame. What I said in September is still valid. So 1 year starting from September, of course, is not a moving target. Talking about CapEx, let me say that the CapEx that are ongoing are not stopped. The CapEx necessary to keep the network more and more safe and comfortable will go ahead. The CapEx for new projects like Genova Bypass are at the moment not yet approved by the government. So, I don't see a growing CapEx profile for ASPI in the next year. The opposite. Yeah. Unless Genova starts, but for the time being, Genova is not starting. And by the way, Genova will require some time to go full speed. But, don't ask me numbers, because the numbers can be exchanged by Sonego with you at the level of, detail that he will decide is appropriate.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Olivia Peters with Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody. I've got two questions, please. My first question is, could you provide us with an update on the investigation into the collapse of a bridge? And sorry to ask again, but last time I heard, the concrete was being sent for analysis. So just where we are in that process, please. And my second question is, obviously, you're talking about opening up the share, your capital to different shareholders below the Atlantia level. Last time you did that, you obviously went and bid for Abertis. You're obviously potentially talking about ADP. Could you give us an idea of the size of the transaction you're looking for and what your main objective is? Obviously, last time it was to diversify out of Italy and reduce your cost of capital. Is that still your one of your main strategic aims? Thank you.
I'm not sure I catched everything, but probably Mr. Sonego catch more than me. Talking about the investigation, let me say that we don't know so much. We know what is written in the newspapers, and this is something you can have access to as well. What we know that, the analysis done by the Zurich department, appointed by the judge, said, in general terms, that probably the stays are not the primary cause of collapse, but only a secondary event. Without saying what could be the primary cause, and second, that there were a lot of construction mistakes and defaults since the origin of that bridge that I remember has been built by a state company for a state a grantor.
That's all about investigation. I cannot tell you more, but I mean, you can find in newspapers all the story about this. The other elements were?
I think your question was more generic on international development and source of capital, including the opening of share capital of our investment platform. Well, as we mentioned many times, we are very prudent in international growth because we are very picky, and at the same time, we are seeing that there are some crazy multiples sometimes in some acquisition. So we remain stick to our idea that our strategy is basically focusing now on exploiting the relationship with Alberti shareholders. So we are targeting projects more on the urban area, for instance, in North America, where they are very present, et cetera, et cetera. Secondly, we like, of course, airport business, but it is not easy to identify the right target at a fair price. So I would say the opening of share capital is a reserve of capital that we can touch, and we are ready to do that, but of course we don't see immediately the need for doing that because we don't see any further large acquisition in front of us, but we are continuing to scout the market to be ready. So of course we are in talks with many investors interested, but until we can match potential opportunities with need of opening the share capital, I would say it is not something very, very urgent. And meanwhile, the leverage of the group is very, very, very sustainable. So if there is any good opportunity to grasp, we are ready because we can be easily backed by large investors that are looking after us for co-investing in opportunities or entering our investment platform because they believe we are very strong and reliable and we can be very, very good partner.
Yeah. Please, can I follow
add
up?
If I can add something to what has been said by Sonigo, history tells that we do prefer, private deals without competition. And when there is competition, the assumptions we make about, traffic, performances and so on, often let us being, probably a little bit less aggressive. If you look at the ratio between the assets we analyze and the assets we finally buy, you see that we are very choosy, but really very choosy. I exchanged with my colleagues today about India. In India, we analyze probably 80 concessions, but we have just one with 20% return. I believe that's good. It's better to have a low hit ratio and high capital return. This is exactly what we want. We want to remain very choosy, but we want to have a look to what's happening in the market because we have enough flexibility if we want. But we did something more only for Abertis.
It's
the deal of the life.
If I could just follow up, sorry, very quickly. You keep on insisting on the U.S. and roads in urban areas. One thing you've ruled out in the past is managed lanes. Are you changing your opinion on those assets? Am I to read that into it or not?
Sorry, what other assets are you mentioning?
Managed lanes. You keep on saying urban roads in urban areas in the U.S. Would you examine opportunities in the managed lane space? In the past, you've ruled out an interest in those assets.
Let me say that managed lanes have two levels of complexity. One is construction complexity, because you need to add a lane to an existing and working infrastructure, normally very highly congested. So it's very complex from the construction point of view, and it's very complex as well from the traffic dynamics point of view, because it's a derivative of traffic. So it's much more volatile than base traffic, because
is the extra, is depending on the extra, on the congested hours, and so on. Having said that, in the past we were a little bit skeptical about this kind of infrastructures because we had little possibility to be competitive on the first part, which is construction, which is very risky in this kind of projects. Having in the group ACS and Octave, one of the largest players in the U.S., we believe that the first part of the first risk can be, offset or transferred. And this is why, for the first time, we can play in that market. That is, by the way, a risky market. So if there is a tender with 10 bidders, I'm sure we will never win. But being the market big and being the number of bidders low, like in Maryland projects, I believe that there could be a chance to be competitive and to win. You know who will participate to Maryland project? Probably no more than 5 players for probably 4 lots. This is my guess.
Okay.
So there could be a chance to make money.
Apologies. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Stephanie Doth with RBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, and thank you for answering my questions. The first one is on your relationship with the government regarding the talks on ASP and the tariffs going forward, especially with the first 6 months freeze. The second question is on insurance, in particular regarding the bridge collapse. Could you maybe explain a little bit how you're insured against that? And then my third question is just to understand the increase in provision from about 345 million to 500 is entirely due to the selection of the constructor project, which is more expensive than what you had factored in. Thank you very much.
I will answer to the first two questions very briefly. On the first one, relationship with the government, please refer to the hearing of the Minister Toninelli in the House of Commons. 1 week ago, there were a lot of questions to the minister about the relationship of the government with us. I don't want to add anything more. It's very, explanatory, very plain, and is the reality seen by the government, which is what's more important. About insurances, let me say that our priority has been to go ahead paying indemnities to people and to victims without being, delayed by insurances procedures. And this is why we decided to go ahead without having them backing us. And this is how we have been capable to, give indemnities to 70%, 75% of victims. Relatives to victims, which is quite, a good result. From our point of view, we would have liked to do 100%. And by the way, this will never repay, the tragedy and the for the suffering of people, but at least we have been capable to give some, economic support to them. So up to 75%. Having said that, we decide to go ahead, and we are sure or confident insurances will follow in due time.
So what is important is that in 2018 figures, there is nothing about the insurance restoring. So we, in terms of cautiousness, we decided to not to put €1 of possibility to have to be restored by the insurance company. But as Mr. Casalucci said, we are confident that the insurer will follow us in these procedures.
Then, if I understand correctly, your question, final question was on the increase in provisions due to the Genoa incident. As I briefly mentioned during the presentation, basically the commissioner adopted a project that is showing higher construction costs. And in addition to that, to construct the bridge with that design, there is also the requirement of a larger area to be expropriated. So we have to increase, to fund a higher cost to buy land, buildings, etc., to be demolished, etc. So those are the two main increase in cost that we are envisaging from the very initial 350 million we charged in September's 9-month results. Actually, we are increasing the expected cost by 150 million to cope with the final costs that are envisaged on the basis of the new project.
Thank you. If I just may follow up on that one, I understand you appealed the fact that you should have been entitled to select the constructor for the reconstruction, and it is undergoing administrative court. I think on that one you should have a better timeline, as it is usually shorter. So when should we hear back from the legal challenge there, please?
Well, as you might remember, actually we have been totally excluded from reconstruction. So we are supporting the demolition and reconstruction, actually just paying the cost of reconstruction. And the commissioner requested we wired the money, and we did that in January.
But didn't you appeal that choice of your right was to basically tender, and the commissioner decided you didn't have that right?
Yes, yes, as you mentioned, yes, right, right. We appeal against in an administrative tribunal, appealing against the law that we considered in breach of the concession agreement. But of course, the administrative tribunal has not yet gave any verdict on this. So we are still waiting for the first hearings about and the final resolution that we hope is coming in some months.
And the verdict could be to send the issue and the case to the Constitutional Court, or, I mean, Court of Justice, because this is about the legitimacy of a law, not about the legitimacy of administrative act. So it's a little bit longer, the final outcome, because it's about the lack of legitimacy of a law that has been applied through administrative acts. It's not just the issue of an administrative act that is against the law. So this is slightly different, and this is why the outcome is not yet available. But we appealed.
Thank you.
The next question is from Stefano Gamberini with Equitas SIM. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody. Four questions, if I may. First of all, regarding the asset rotation, you stress that you can start with asset rotations of your controlled companies. What could be, in your view, the most likely that could be open first? And also, if you can give us an idea of the timing, are we speaking of 12 months or you need more time to open the capital to these assets? The second, regarding the Telepass, you recorded a very strong performance this year, and you expect further improvement and further synergies with Abertis. Could you elaborate a little bit more about these synergies and when you expect this could be reached in the future? The third, regarding the new tariff system that is under consultation by the regulator, could you share with us what is your thought about this new system, if you think that this could be applied to Aspi or not? And finally, regarding Abertis and the new Atlantia Group after this transaction and the agreement with also TFACS, what are the areas that you expect the most value creation for Atlantia right now compared to the previous situation? Many thanks.
A lot of questions. I am not in the position to say when and who will be the first. By the way, it's not an issue about intention, it's an issue about opportunity and conditions. By the way, the capital rotation I mentioned before, we already started with the sale of minority of ASPI, and the Abertis transaction has been funded with part of those proceeds. So, I mean, something we intended to do, we did, and we want to continue in due time. I cannot anticipate, any more specific time frame. About Telepass, let me say that, of course, people in Abertis and Atlantia are talking about payment systems. But, I mean, it's not necessary to have a strong and formal cooperation to create value. Just for, to give you an example, our partner for Telepass for cars in France is not Sanefi, it's Apedesat. So, I mean, you can create value and the global or European coverage, not necessarily doing something with Abertis and vice versa. There is something where they are working. We don't know yet whether it will be necessary to have a much deeper, interaction between the two groups or companies, and the synergy should be supported by, company restructuring or merger. It's too early to say. But I believe that, they have still a lot of stuff to do. Exchanging ideas, exchanging information, and improving the system as they have today, Telepass and Abertis. By the way, in tolling systems, the relative sizes are totally different. Our EBITDA is in the range of 120 million. The combined EBITDA in the companies related to Abertis is probably more in the range of 20 million. So we are talking about different focus, different depth, also because there is a different story. We started first, and we have been dominant in Italy, which wasn't the case in France with Sanef or in Spain with Abertis. Other question? Yes, sir. Come here. About art, it's too early to say. We are still analyzing what they published, and we will reserve to have an opinion when we will have analyzed everything.
Thank you.
The next question is...
By the way, we have a contract, and we have an history of respect of the contract, starting from 2006, so I cannot add more. Thank you.
The next question is from James Sparrow with BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. I've just got a couple of questions on the credit side. It's obviously very pleasing to hear you talk about deleveraging being the name of the game, but you're sending slightly mixed message about sort of keeping a 5.2 times sort of debt to EBITDA. So I understand you want to keep your sort of options open for further opportunities, but if you don't do any great expansion this year, can you give any indication of the sort of trajectory that your leverage could sort of trend towards? And then just following up on that, when it comes to deleveraging, where is your priority? Is it to cut debt at the Atlantia level or at the Abertis level? And then just finally, if I may, can you talk a little bit more about the Abertis dividend policy and how that, I think you said it's linked to credit ratings. Is it linked to a level of debt or gearing as well? That's it for me. Thank you.
Wow.
Well, in terms of trajectory, we remain absolutely in line with what we declared when we announced the new transaction on Abertis. So currently we are in the range of 5, and we expect in basically 4, no more than 5 years, in the range of 4 times. Of course, assuming no further transaction, but as we mentioned, most of them can be funded opening the investment platform capital to third parties. So we think that the leverage can happen quite soon, in 3/5 years, from 5 down to 4 times. In terms of where this deleveraging may happen, I would say across the group, because more or less all the group is managed so that 5 times currently is spread evenly between the former Atlanta group and the new Abertis group as a result of the acquisition. I would say that, of course, the gearing would be faster for the concession having a lower concession maturity, of course.
Thanks. And can you say anything more about the dividend policy at Abertis?
Okay. As you are aware of, the commitment from the shareholders is to target a BBB credit rating, and starting from the resolution that the board has taken, the shareholders' meeting would be called to vote for a distribution that anyway is subject to the credit rating. So with the interaction with credit rating, we are convinced, we confirm that the BBB rating is consistent with the strategy that we always presented, so we don't expect nothing new about that. But formally, we continue to subordinate the distribution to a dividend payment that is consistent with a BBB rating. So this is the decision that the shareholders are targeting right now.
Okay, thank you. That's clear.
The next question is a follow-up from Nicolò Pessina with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Well, thanks a lot. Just a quick follow-up questions. On Spain, I wonder what makes you so confident that there will be re-tenders of expiring concessions in a few years' time. If I look at what the government did in the past year or year and a half, I see exactly the opposite. So I wonder where your optimism comes from. Second question on Brazil. If you plan to take part to the next auctions for new concessions, a year ago you were quite skeptical about the returns. So I wonder if anything has changed. And finally, on ADR, you talk about the capex to upgrade the existing assets. I wonder if you could give us an update about Fiumicino North. Thank you.
Let's start from Fiumicino North. You know how many people or investors said that Fiumicino North was probably too big in one shot for the Rome airport. Let me say as well that, I mean, the Fiumicino North development is in the environmental reserve, and the building of a terminal in an environmental reserve requires so many green lights that, I mean, is hard to define timing. This is why we are developing a plan B. The plan B is more brownfield. The plan B is more about optimizing current capacity, optimizing current footprint. It's about tariff reduction instead of tariff increase. And let me say that, I mean, both plans are high value from our point of view. So we are prepared for both outcomes, the construction of Fiumicino North, less and less likely, or the better utilization of existing footprint, more and more likely, but not less valuable. On Brazil, let me say that return depends on the base price and depends on number of bidders.
And there is something that is sure. In Brazil, every day there are fewer bidders with fewer financial capacity, with lower credit merit. And so, I mean, there will be a point when, if the government wants to tender and to find private money, will need to, I mean, deserve good return. I mean, we are probably not yet at that time, but I mean, we are in the government, and the market is in the right direction. So I'm not changing my opinion. I'm just saying that 1 year ago, the market was too optimistic about Brazil, more than reality. I believe that this gap is going to be filled sooner or later. But I mean, we are not yet there. If you ask me, will Atlantia participate to the next tender? My answer is no. Period. I cannot answer for Abertis for the renewal of a concession they have. This is something that will require more analysis and more details. About the optimism about Spain, let me say that I have not said that concessions will be retendered. I said, and not just me, also the government said that Spain cannot do without tolls, or Spain cannot fund maintenance on the huge road network they have without tolls. The market and the structure can change. The role of private investors can be different. But I believe that the experience of AP1, where the government decided to eliminate tolls, is more the exception than the rule, because that model is not sustainable. It's not sustainable because it means that thousands of people should be fired, toll collectors. It's not sustainable because a lot of money should be devoted to maintenance. It's not sustainable because quality of service will go down and is already going down. And it's not sustainable because there is no money for maintenance, upgrading, and so on. It's sufficient to look at the roads managed by the state, and you see immediately the huge difference there is. So probably there will be no retendering, but there will be a different way to fund maintenance, upgrading, the bottlenecking of roads, and there will be probably still be a relevant role for private investors, and we are there for that.
Thank you.
Thank you to you.
The next question is from Elvira Alimbekova with Barclays. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my questions. I will have only one. Could you please confirm that the roadshow announced today for Abertis bond issuance is mainly to refinance the remaining part of the bridge to bond facility? So we should expect around 2 billion issuance. Thank you.
Yes, you're right. It is addressed to refinance the 4.75 billion maturity that actually has been reduced down to 2.75 because we already refinanced 2 billion.
Yeah, okay,
perfect. Yes, correct.
So the need is 2.1 billion euros in one or more tranches, in one or more issues. So it's very tiny. The rest already having been refinanced at the conditions we commented before, 1% for the term loans or the bilateral agreements with banks, and the term loan is probably a little bit higher, but I mean, it's more or less in the same. Yeah, 1.2, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
The next question is from Charles Maynadier with Kempen. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Just two follow-ups from me. First one on the ADP privatization. So you mentioned that the structure is too complex now. So could you elaborate on that and let us know with what sort of structure you would feel more comfortable with? And the second one is coming back on the potential divestments. So assuming that you had interest, invest interest on all your assets and not take into account the price and the size of the proceeds, which asset would you likely sell first? Thank you.
The first question is about the complexity of IDP. In reality, the transaction that has been published in the newspapers is not complex in itself. It is just disposal of 51% of a company with 70 years remaining, 70 remaining years of rights over land, real estate, and so on. What is complex is the perimeter of what the government could privatize. Will privatize land ownership, will privatize infrastructure development, will privatize real estate, will privatize, aeronautical activities, will privatize engineering for, many countries in the world, will privatize assets here and there. The perimeter and portfolio is very complex. Probably, let me say, a little bit too complex. But this is my personal assumption. This is why the process is not going ahead so fast as originally anticipated. The second question is about what could be sold and when. Let me say that selling asset and rotating asset, follows a clear rule. We will sell when we will have the opportunity to invest. There is no need to sell and to rotate capital just to have cash in the bank account. So, we'll be more pulled than pushed. If you look at the slide, page number 27. Yes, 7. Page number 27, the right part of this the slide will pull the left side of the slide rather than the opposite. So I cannot anticipate when.
Okay, thanks.
The next question is from Federico Pezzet with Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, good evening, and thank you. Just a small clarification on what you said about dividend policy. Regardless of the total level of dividend you will decide to pay going forward, do you see any reason not to go back paying an interim in November already from this year? Thanks.
Well, in 2018, we decided to postpone the interim dividend and to pay just the final dividend, as you perfectly remember, because of the Genoa incident, and the event was very, very new, and we had to cope with a very special situation. At the moment, we don't see any reason or, of course, event that may not confirm the interim distribution that is planned in November as usual. So we confirm interim dividend.
Great, thank you.
Gentlemen, I turn the floor back to you.
Thank you very much. We are, of course, are available for further questions you might have in the next hours or days. And thank you for having all you listening to our call. Thank you very much.